think after all these years I'd know to do that. But I ran into the Strout family back there, and it's like, wow, you don't have any kids anymore. You know, when you don't see each other for a few months, it's absolutely amazing how much taller some of you have gotten and how much wider some others have gotten. So we're all growing in some way, right? We're so glad to see you today and to have you here as we continue our series, Off Limits. Man, I am enjoying this study. You know, and I don't think I've told you that there's actually four other pastors here in town that we worked on this together and studied together for weekly for some time. And so there's four other churches here locally in town that are doing this exact same series. At least the sermons aren't exactly the same, but a lot of it is the same. We're using the same themes. So maybe as we study together today, let's pray for our brothers and sisters around the city, around the community that are studying this very, very same thing. Of course, it's all about what? It's all about sanctification. It's all about holiness. You know, God says for us to be holy as He is holy. It's not an impossibility. It's a probability if we allow Him to knock off the rough edges of our lives throughout our lives. You have salvation. You have glorification when we all get to heaven. But then you got this middle part that we're talking about, sanctification, and how God wants us to grow and to change as we get closer and closer to heaven. Now, here's the thing today. Sometimes, as a pastor, you preach about things and you pick subjects that you wonder whether or not everybody that's there needs to hear it. You know, you pick things that maybe a younger audience needs to hear more than an older audience. Or maybe you pick something that when you're in your middle years, that it applies more to you than other times. What we're going to talk about today is something that every one of us in this room needs to hear and needs to talk about. Because when we talk about that there's things in life, there's areas in life that we don't surrender easily, here's a big one. My thoughts. And your thoughts. You know, how much do we allow God to shape and to mold who we are in there and what we're thinking about? Because you know what? What you think about is what you are becoming. Look at it this way. Every good deed begins with a thought, and every sin begins with a seed planted there by the devil himself. And wherever our life goes, whether it is on a good trajectory, toward a good place, or whether we are on a road to destruction, or many times even self-destruction, it all begins with our thoughts. So let me ask it to you this way. How would you like it if you had to walk around with this above your head? And that everywhere you went, you didn't have to say a word because people could read your thoughts. I would never leave my home. How about it? I mean, if we had to go through life and everybody knew exactly what we were thinking, what was on our mind. You know, when somebody says something and we don't respond, but we think it. You know, matter of fact, I was thinking about this and I thought, John, you'd never leave the house. And then I realized I would never talk to Arlene. I would never get in her presence. I mean, if we had to live this way where people knew exactly what was going on in our minds. But here's the thing, folks. If we understood this idea of sanctification, If we accepted this premise that, you know what, God needs to be all about our thoughts. We need to think about Him more than other things. We need to think about His way more than the way of the world. We need to think about heaven more than we think about things of this life, that we are not of this world, that we are just passing through. And listen, if we allow God to capture our thoughts, and if these scriptures that we're going to share today, if we take them to heart, God can take over our thoughts and make us not concerned about what we're thinking and whether or not people know what we're thinking. But here's the thing, folks. God knows what we think. That's why Jesus took this idea of sin not to just what from what you do, but the motivation for what you do and what you think about doing. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, even if you think about these things, you've committed them. My arm's really tired. Look at this passage of Scripture, folks. I love this word. I spent a lot of time this week just thinking about this word. The contemporary English version of Proverbs 4:23 says, carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of your life. What you think determines what you become. What you think determines what you become. Carefully guard your thoughts because they are the source of life. Negative thoughts, fearful thoughts, thoughts of discontentment, critical thoughts toward other people. Jeremiah says it this way in Jeremiah 12. He says, yet you know me, O Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like a sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. So folks, as we come together today, let's ask God to help us with this idea of what our thoughts should be. So here's the thing. Three words for you, okay? I want you to capture these three words in your heart. The words are identify, reject, and replace. Identify, reject, and replace. You see, folks, when we do this, God is so amazing in what He teaches us. But I don't think we spend enough time doing this. We don't identify our thoughts. Therefore, we don't recognize the damage that they're doing. Yesterday, Arlene and I and Kristen and Nathan were on the road down near Breezewood, Pennsylvania. And we ran over a big cast iron metal fitting on the end of a water line of some way. It must have fallen off the truck, and we did not see that, and we ran over it, and it made a racket, scared everybody to death, and then it just ripped the back tire off my truck almost. I mean, it went flat immediately, and we were on the side of the road, and you know, we finally got it fixed, and then we determined, you know what, we can't drive to we were going down to Roanoke for Arlene's mother's birthday, so we went back home to Altoona from Breezewood, and we just left the truck, we piled everything in our car, and then we left again, so we were like 4 hours behind of what we wanted to be. But anyway, when we got back down to Breezewood, and of course everybody in the car was like, be careful. I pulled off the side of the road because I thought, you know what, that thing that we hit, I didn't even see it, but it's got to be right here. And I found it. Oh my goodness. When I saw this thing, and Kristen said, Dad, yeah, that was exactly it. It weighed like 30 pounds. And who knows what it's done to my truck. I got to get this thing checked tomorrow. But it was like, when I saw it, I thought, man, no wonder the tire went flat. You know, no wonder the truck was making noises that it wasn't making before. Oh my goodness, it might have ripped the bottom of my truck open. I don't know. I've got to get that figured out. But once I saw it, and I thought, my goodness, no wonder it did so much damage. Listen, folks, there's a lot of you here this morning. You have toxic thoughts in your mind, in your heart. And you've not identified them, and you don't recognize the damage that they are doing to you and to the people that you love. So we have to identify these thoughts. But then we have to reject them. We have to lay them aside. We have to be willing to just discard them and get them out of our lives. And so, you know what? Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, get behind me, Satan." You know, that was a thought. Peter thought that, and then Peter said that, and Jesus heard that, and that thought was in his mind, and his reaction was, "Get out of here, get behind me, Satan." Have we done that? You know, listen, folks, in the season that we're in, this election season, man, we got a lot of this to deal with. A lot of this to deal with, to identify and to reject. But here's the key, folks. Then we have to replace it. We have to replace it with something different. We have to replace it with something better. We have to put in our hearts and in our minds these wonderful things that God calls us to think about. Here's a great passage, folks, in 2 Corinthians. I love this passage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at what he says here in verse 4 and 5. He says, "We use God's mighty weapons," not worldly weapons, "to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy the false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." Now listen, let me put this text, this passage into context, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul was having his authority as an apostle questioned. And the bottom line was, listen, we need to capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Jesus Christ. Folks, if we're able to do that, it is unbelievable what God can do in our lives. Here's the most important words in this passage. He says, "We destroy." You and me. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. And we capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. You see, folks, the key is obedience to Jesus Christ. Think about this. When you're walking around with this over your head and you're wondering about friends that maybe they can read your mind, if you're obeying Christ and loving people as God has asked you to, you don't have that to worry about. When we have obedience to Christ at the forefront of our existence, we automatically think the right thoughts. It's when we get away from that and we think like the world, or we think like the flesh, or we think that we believe the lies of the devil, that's when we get off base. I mean, if we think, you know what, I can't, you probably won't. You know, if you think I'm not good enough, then it probably won't work out for you. If you think I can't change, you probably never will. If you think I can't be happy, happiness will not be yours. But if you fill your mind with the things of God, it is amazing the difference that that can make. Think about it this way. Capture destructive thoughts. It's really about just trading trash for truth. It's really no more complicated than that. It's deciding that your mind will be filled with the truth of God, with the love of God, with the work of God, with the Spirit of God, with the heart of God, and you allow Him to be to work in your hands and your feet, and to stay away from the trash things. Listen, folks, our culture and our society is full of trash. I don't know if you recently saw the great controversy that came because Netflix has put out a series called Cuties. You heard about this? Where they actually put 9 through 11-year-old girls in sexually suggestive ways, dancing and 9, 10, 11-year-old girls. Listen, folks, my mother had it right when she told me, John, if you stay away from the things and the places that you shouldn't be, your life will be okay. Now, I know people evaluate that in a lot of different ways in life, but I think deep down in your heart and in my heart, we know the difference between truth and trash. You know, James says it this way, that whatever things are holy, whatever things are just, whatever things are beautiful and trustworthy, that we should think on these things, he says. We should fill our minds full of those things. But we get so far away from that. I mean, we understand that the Bible tells us that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And the neat thing here about the word in Romans about transforming and about renewing, the Greek word literally means to renew or to renovate or to make better than before. To make better than it was before. You see, folks, we can live life and we can be worried about children and money and health and job and our future. We can worry about our home. We can worry about our pets. We can worry about all these different things. But we need to know that we are secure in God's promises. And when we trust in Him, we are full of peace. Maybe peace that the world doesn't understand, but peace nonetheless. But our mind can be so consumed with this life, with this world, with the things of this world. We can be so caught up in wanting to be liked by people that we miss the eternal difference that God wants us to make. So I ask you today, folks, what about your thoughts? I mean, have you gotten to the place where you carefully guard your thoughts? Can you identify and reject and replace those negative, toxic thoughts with good things from God? Can we capture destructive thoughts and choose truth over trash? Or do we just get in this spiral of just being so consumed by the negative thoughts that come our way? Let's listen to some young people that have experienced this exact same thing.
Nothing I do is ever good enough.
Why do I keep doing the wrong things? I'm so stupid.
after all I've done, God could never love me.
No one cares about me.
No one understands me.
Why do I keep trying?
There's no hope for me.
No one cares about me.
God could never forgive me.
Why am I so alone?
No one is there.
God, why have you left me?
God could never love me.
I can't do it.
What's the use?
God, you're so distant.
God has given up on me.
No one loves me.
Why should I ever feel alone when God tells me in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you?
Why should I ever say I can't?
When Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Why should I ever feel guilty when 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness?
Why should I feel condemned when Romans 8:1 tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus?
Why should I ever be afraid when 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us the spirit of fear,
but he gave me one of power and love and self-discipline?
Why should I worry and stress out all the time when 1 Peter 5:7 says,
cast all your anxiety on him because he cared for me?
Why should I feel like a loser when Romans 8:37 says, I am more than a conqueror through God who loves me?
You see, folks, the difference is what thought wins out. You know, one of the great blessings over the last 8 months, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but we've had quite a baby boom here at First Church. You know, we've had several babies born during this time. I'm just waiting on one of them to have a boy and to name it COVID. You know, there's going to be some kid, you know, 20 years from now that's going to have to explain his name. Yeah, my name is COVID. And everybody will know where that was from. But here's the thing, folks. I've seen these young families welcome these little babies with so much joy and so much wonder and so much beauty and so much hope. So my question to all of us here this morning is, what is going to be born out of your thoughts? A troubled life or a transformed life by the act of sanctification, by us giving God all of our thoughts and all of our worries and all of our fears, and us knowing that it's okay that he knows our thoughts because we have allowed all of our thoughts to be taken captive by Jesus Christ, and that we are living a life of obedience to him. You know what, folks? If you're worried about your thoughts, if you hate the way that you think, if it scares you to think that people would know what you're thinking or that God would read your thoughts, then, folks, it's time to clean house. And it's time to allow God to take over and to change us. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line always comes from the Word of God. So let me give you a passage of Scripture here that I think will change your life and mine as we think about Him. It comes from Psalm 104. And it's a psalm of David, and he's talking to God, and he says, "May all my thoughts be pleasing to you, for I rejoice in the Lord." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful word. May it describe who we are. May it describe a person and a people who are concerned that all of our thoughts will be pleasing to Him. Not that we think good thoughts occasionally or when we think that it's appropriate, but that, Lord, when we have thoughts come to our mind, we identify and we reject those thoughts, Lord, when they're bad or impure. And then, Lord, we replace them. Praise them, Lord, with truth. Truth that comes from you. So God, I just pray right now that you would help us to relinquish this part of our lives to your act of sanctification. That God, through our faith and obedience to you, Lord, that you would purify our thoughts and make them beautiful. And make them exactly what you want them to be. So much so, Lord, that as we live our lives, that, Lord, not only our hands and our feet and our actions, that, Lord, even our motivation and even our thoughts, Father, would bless other people because they see the truth and the love of Jesus Christ inside of us. Father, may it be so. And as we sing together this morning, Lord, may we all just give you, relinquish the control of our minds to you, Lord, and to your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray.